If I can get my mic to work, I find that to be appropriate. If you have, through the chair to the solicitor.
Mr. Solicitor, could you comment on that particular item?
So the only way I can comment is that anyone who's interested in a lot, whether it be adjacent to their own personal private property today, or whether or not it is a parcel that's somewhere else and they think it's really increased in value, under the present ordinance, they could have come forward, absolutely could have come forward and gone through this process and paid the redemption price. And that just isn't happening. The reality is that of those 1,000 or more parcels that are out there, again, they have little to no, almost worthless value to anyone, which is why they've been sitting there and why no one has approached the tax collector or anyone to try and redeem the property. I don't see how changing the ordinance to, number one, comply with the law, which is most important, but number two, to have a simplified version to allow the treasurer to move forward with transferring these tax titles for the redemption price. The city is never going to get more than the redemption price on any of these parcels. So it's not a question where someone's going to be able to come in and bid 10 times more of its worth because it's now worth 100 times more than what it used to be. It just isn't that type of an issue. So I don't believe that that is a concern based upon, again, the history up to today and based upon the fact that the city can only collect the redemption price no matter what.
So, Mr. Solicitor, with all due respect, I'm more concerned with the situation going forward. And I'm going to repeat or rephrase my question. And if you could give me a yes or a no. Could a property be sold off to insiders without notice at all if this were to pass?
I'm having trouble with you're inferring insiders, meaning, you know, I know what an insider is, someone on the city council, someone in the administration,
a friend,
someone
a friend,
in the know,
associate.
A friend or whatever. I don't see how under this ordinance, the process is any different. So I'd say no.
Okay, your answer is no. And we can change the word from insiders to anyone if, you know, that makes everybody feel better. Item number two, neighbor and conservation interests. Many tax title lots are in place that have been difficult to build because they have high conservation value. Many others are effectively the side and backyards of homeowners. Those with these type of interests should have some opportunity to purchase the tax titles should they be sold. The existing law provides both notice and right to match to neighbors. Does that right continue in PCO 13-25?
No, there's no longer any reference to saying that certain people, whether they be neighbors, the land trust, or whomever, get knowledge ahead of time about it. All of these tax titles are public documents. Anyone who's interested in any of them can become aware of them simply by going to the tax department and they can find out. And again, the history has been that that's simply not happening. Certainly, if there was a piece of property that was adjacent to present land trust or conservation property, I would assume the land trust would show great interest in that and for a very small fee, pay the redemption price to add it to another adjacent parcel. There is a practical issue with that, and that is someone still has to go through the process of foreclosing the right of redemption, which unfortunately is, well, not necessarily unfortunately from a legal perspective, it is fortunate because it protects the original tax title the original property owners, you have to go through a pretty onerous and expensive process to make that property valuable, meaning to own the actual fee, to own the real estate, not just the tax title. But the answer to your question is no, this PCO 13-25 does not require that notice first be given to neighbors or anyone else.
Did it require it prior to PCO 13-25?
Yeah, there are provisions in the prior ordinance okay. about notice, I know, to the land trust for sure.
Okay, so that language has been
eliminated. Yes, correct. It has. Again,
exactly to the point of this person.
We modeled this on the way it works pretty much everywhere else in Rhode Island. Of course, Warwick is very special and very dear to my heart. But this process that we've outlined in the ordinance before you works very well everywhere else. The current process that the city of Warwick has in its ordinance does not work well because we've not been transferring these tax titles. They've been sitting there, some for decades and decades. And the idea is to blast through the logjam and try to at least bring in some money for these tiny little pieces of property. As you pointed out, many of which are wetlands. You certainly can't build on them, et cetera. But this is just a way to try to move things along in an efficient way.
Another question and concern from a different constituent. He states that PCO 13-25 deletes current process and completely gives too much power to city treasurer, and the discretion lies with the treasurer. Is that an accurate statement?
Yeah, this ordinance gives that discretion to the city treasurer, absolutely. And we believe that's the right way to handle these tax titles.
Who was involved in the process of coming up with this change that we now are looking at called PCO 13-25?
In discussions with the treasurer and the tax collector, et cetera, my office became aware of the fact that the process as outlined in 2-14 was inconsistent with state law. So we are the ones, my office, and whenever things like this are flagged, we want to do what's best for the city, obviously, and correct any legal deficiencies. We recommended that this ordinance be amended, changed in order to bring it in compliance with state law. As part of those discussions, it was brought to our attention that for all practical purposes, the city was sitting on 1,000 or more tax titles with no movement whatsoever. How is this handled elsewhere? So after a series of discussions and doing some research and looking at other model ordinances, my office came up with this language for your consideration. And I think I've explained all the reasons why.
So doesn't this give him or her complete control on this process without any advice and consent from the council or appeal rights?
That is correct. This ordinance does not provide for advice and consent from the city council. But again, frankly, I'm not sure when the last time anything became before this council on a transfer of a tax title. I'm sure there are occasions I've not been here for more than 4 years myself. However, again, because the law is so straightforward, meaning that the city treasurer can only transfer the tax title upon payment of the redemption price, there is not really much, if any, discretion. there isn't a lot of power, so to speak, that's being vested in the city treasurer. All they're doing is carrying out the mandate of the law, which is if someone pays the redemption price, I can transfer the tax title. And we transfer that without any warranties or any guarantees that the property will eventually, that a foreclosure, the right of redemption will occur, et cetera, et cetera. So it's not as if the city treasurer is saying, oh, you know, because this price is a good one, I'm going to go here, or this is not so good, I'm going to go there. It's very practical. It's very straightforward. They simply want to be able to transfer as many of these titles off the city books as possible, collect the money that's due the city, and move on. It's that simple and that straightforward, and it's certainly something that the treasurer has the ability to do.
If this would have passed, does it eliminate public notice?
So when you say eliminate public notice, so I would envision some process whereby the treasurer's department will make it known to the public, hey, here are all these tax titles that are out there. If you're interested, please come see me, pay the redemption price, and you can have it. There'll be some type of process.
There will be some type, but there is not any process identified in PCO 1325, right?
No, PCO 13-25 just sets forth the procedure for the assignment. It does not reference anything about
correct
notice.
Exactly. And is there a list of inventory in the location of this inventory as it exists now?
I'm getting a head nod that yes, there is a list of the inventory.
Is that list available to the public?
Yeah, Chief Staff Bill Facenti. Yes, there is a list and it is available to the public.
Is that list posted on our website?
No, it changes. The lots are identified by plat and lot, and I believe the ownership, the original owner that we took the tax title from, there's no other information on that. The value or anything, redemption cost or anything like that, is not available because that changes based on time.
There is a list of the inventory and where it is located by plat and lot.
Correct, yes. Okay. The land trust has that.
But it's not posted. It's
available upon somewhere. Request.
Okay, but it's there someplace.
It's available upon request.
Now, this PCO 1325, does this in fact give the treasurer the discretion to sell to the first buyer that comes along, or is this going to follow Rhode Island general law that provides for a 10-day notice to the landowner?
So,
Mr. Osillo, just as a point of order, Councilman, I think what you're alluding to would be the initial tax sale. Like those notices are pertinent to the tax sale. Correct me if I'm just so I can understand where
Mr.
you're.
Chairman, I'm alluding to questions that my constituents and the one I just read was someone else's constituent, but so, it was sent to me.
I can answer
reading,
the question.
I'm reading.
I can answer.
I'm not alluding to
Mr. Osillo, one moment.
Excuse me.
I'm not alluding
to any particular tax thing. I'm alluding to questions that my constituents have asked me to put on the record.
Councilman, I'm just trying to understand what the basis of your question is so I can understand what you're asking.
Well, the question is there going to be a notice to the landowner when this, and I mean, you know, we can find it amusing if you'd like, that's fine. This is serious to me. When my constituents ask me for questions and they're looking for answers, I take it serious. I don't find it amusing. So that's the question.
I can answer the question.
Is there a 10-day notice?
I can answer the question.
Thank you, Solicitor.
No, there is no further notice because all of the notice requirements, and there are many, all apply to the original tax sale. And I'm just looking at it. Yes, okay, good. I'm going to stand corrected. Thank you. The requirement is that registered or certified mail be sent to the owner at least 10 days prior to the assignment. So yes, there is a 10-day notice.
Thank you. Thank you for that. That was an important question of my constituent. And so what is the process leading up to the value of the property? What factors are in line in that is the process that's going to generate these potential tax revenues? So does one lot sell for, you know, $20 and another one sell for $2,000? Is there a process in place that establishes these factors?
Good evening, Kyler Jones, tax collector.
Hi,
and
Director.
Treasurer. Good evening.
Hi.
So right now, in order to have the tax title assigned from the city to the person looking at purchasing this tax title, the amount to redeem would be what it was sold for at the tax sale. Say it was a tax lien we took in 1980. So what it was sold for then, all the taxes that have accumulated from then to the day that they want to purchase it, including any outstanding interest and fees. And each price that you're asking would be different for every parcel, depending on when it was sold and the accumulated taxes since.
Okay. Thank you for that. Another item. It says there is no legal basis requiring removal of the notice and process requirements in the existing ordinance. There is clearly no law that prevents Warwick from giving substantial advance notice of tax title sales to property owners, property abutters, the land trust, and other interested parties. That notice, at least 90 days in process, should be part of any ordinance. Does the city have an objection to including that in PCO 13-25?
It does, and I'll tell you why. A couple of reasons. First of all, we want to follow the mandates of the state law 44918, which sets forth just the notice to the property owner. Second of all, we're trying to make this process more efficient, easier, and hopefully get the city to be able to transfer tax titles that have been sitting for decades with no movement by making the process simpler. And that's why. And as I say, the ordinance before you is pretty much the way it's done everywhere else in the state, and it's effective. So the administration would object to adding additional notice requirements above and beyond what is required by the state law, even though, as you point out, the city of Warwick certainly could mandate such additional notice requirements if it desired.
And do you or your office have an objection to extending an additional notice to those abutters?
Yes,
you do.
We didn't write that into the law again, because the thought is we're trying to help the city get through this backlog of tax titles that have been sitting there, and we're collecting no money on it whatsoever. I don't know how many different titles will be assigned under the new process if the council decides to adopt it, but my guess is many more than are happening today under the current process, which is very cumbersome.
Chairman, just so you're
Chairman,
aware,
thank you for your indulgence. I'm all set.
You still have some time
for now.
You're all set? You still have some time.
I'll yield my time, and if I need to circle back, I would appreciate the opportunity. Thank you.
Understood. Councilman Muto, did you have a follow-up?
Thank you. Thank you, Chairman.
So again, I'm just going to reiterate my my concern about notice and, quite frankly, transparency with this administration. To me, it seems like this is a power grab. Going back to minutes from the council meeting of 113 and 127, again, this initially started with the objection that the ultimate decision lies with the mayor instead of a checks and balances with the city council. And again, I don't know how this slipped by. I'll finish reading the minutes here. But the lack of action doesn't seem natural to our process. You would assume that if we were settled on language, we would have done an action. I can't confirm at this moment, but I will be reviewing the minutes that we left it to check other language, and then it disappeared and it comes back in this form. So I am going to adamantly oppose the way this process happened, and I will be researching it through process. Technically, if we didn't take the message, the motion, yes, we all make mistakes on motions. However, the intent in January was to find other language on PCO 1325A that was going to modify. We did a lot of work on PCO 25A. I have it up in front of me, and we were very close to a final decision, and then it disappears. So I'm finding it very suspect at this time that this is as transparent as can be. But that's what I'll say.
Thank you, Councilman. So any other questions or comments from members of the council? Okay, just to, not to speak on behalf of Ms. Austin, but she had to step out. I know this is something that's near and dear to her heart. I believe she represented to me that there is an upcoming meeting with the administration. Chief, if you can confirm that, what the date of that may be to go over some of these tax title properties.
So it's not necessarily to go over the tax title properties per se. The land trust has put together has the list of properties, and they've mapped out according to the plats and lots and the GIS, and they wanted to, show that to the administration. So it's not to specifically talk about the assignments or particular ones. It's just to show us the mapping and how that's worked.
Okay. When is that meeting going to be taking place?
It's not a public meeting. It's a internal work meeting with the administration. So
I understand.
So, I can tell you when it is. I believe it's.
I just don't have my email open in front of me. Otherwise, I'd confirm it for myself.
Yeah, I don't have it. April 17th.
Okay. Thank you. And then further, Mr. Solicitor, I just had a couple of follow-up questions. I understand that the as proposed, the city can't transfer for less than the redemption price. Is that correct? So we can remove the thought of the impropriety of getting a buddy deal, I guess, for lack of better terms.
Yeah. Has to be the redemption price plus and that would include fees and interest. Yes.
Okay. And then I lost my last question. I had it. Would the city have any objection to also noticing the land trust in addition to noticing the landowner?
No, the administration would have no problem to add the land trust to the property owner.
Okay. I have no further questions. Seeing no other lights on, any questions or comments from members of the public? Come on up.
Michelle Comar, Ward 1. Thank you, Councilman, for good insight, good questions. And you correct me on my recollection, too, because I didn't expect this to come back in its original form. I expected a sub A. And I'm kind of questioning, why has this thing been lingering for months? Council rules were written to get the things before the council voted on or taking them off the docket. It's been on the docket for a long time. I expected progress. So I have a couple of comments for amendments, kind of dovetailing off of some of the questions already here, that the treasurer, the tax assessor, provide the value for purchase within so much time of a phone call. So if somebody has a list, which you can get, we don't have the prices to buy the property. So it'd be nice if somebody had the time to go through all 1,000, but if somebody were to email or call, how long would it take to get that answer? It should be like a day, would be great.
Can I direct that question to the administration,
Ms. Comer?
If someone of the public were to ask what the redemption price is that something that's ready available at the tax office, or is that something you would need time to
2 weeks
calculate?
I just answered you.
2 weeks.
So Bill Facente, Chief Staff. I know Councilman DeLuise just said 2 weeks, but it's about a week.
Week to two.
Yeah, right. I mean, each property goes back. There are properties that go back to the 50s. So that calculation of the taxes owed takes some time, and that's not the only thing that the employee is doing. So it does take some time.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chief.
Yeah, I would propose that some kind of amendment be made that defines the process better. The list is available to public so-and-so place. It'll take 1 week upon receipt of an email to the tax assessor or the treasurer to get the redemption price. Also that this list be circulated amongst state city departments. The planning department may probably have the best handle of these properties, but it should pass through engineering, water. What if we need an easement? We just gave the rights of redemption. We just sold the property to somebody. Now we've got to pay for an easement, whether it be temporary for construction or it be permanent for an easement. I think we need sign-offs from the department for all these parcels. And I would recommend engineering, DPW, the sewer authority, and the water department. Also that the land trust sign off that they don't have an interest or they're not seeking to close the right of redemption on any of these properties. To address the transparency issue, maybe, and I'm not happy with the lack of transparency. The process was open, people knew about it, it seemed to run smoothly. But to help that matter out, just a wild suggestion, is that a list of these properties that are sold for the redemption cost, taxes due plus expenses, that list be published in the Warwick Beacon, plat and lot numbers, and who bought it for how much. I think that would solve people's question about, you know, is there somebody getting a good deal somehow that jumped the gun or whatever. I think people would like to see that posted list. One question to, I guess, the solicitor, that 4,800, I believe, figure, is that per lot, or could it be a group of lots if they were contiguous?
Bill Facente, Chief Staff, what question are you asking?
Oh, thank you. To close the right of redemption cost, I believe it was 4,800?
No, that's not what he said.
Oh, what was the price?
He didn't give a price.
He gave no price?
He gave
what
no
was
price.
The 4,800?
It's like,
did I hear that?
I don't think he ever said 4,800.
Okay, all right.
So the process has to go.
Is the
I think you're referring to the number of the state statutes 44918? Maybe that's.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Okay. So to close the right of redemption, is it per parcel or can be a group of parcels that are contiguous?
I believe it's individual.
Individual parcels.
Right. Each parcel is its own separate parcel. So each parcel has to be the right of redemption has to be closed and foreclosed on individually.
Okay. Thank you, Councilman Napa, for that clarification. So this is on old existing lots, but not like this May or June, whenever it happens. This process will go back, will be the existing process. Is that correct?
That is my understanding from the explanation given by the solicitor, yes. These are the old dormant lots that did not get sold at the tax sale and have been sitting because title was transferred to the city
for
because
many
no
years.
One purchased it, and they've been held by the city since okay. that passed. Now, that is my understanding.
So it's all lots held by the city, tax title properties, and any future tax title properties held by the city
right.
that aren't sold at tax sale.
That aren't sold at the tax title
oh, okay.
bidding
Correct.
Auction.
Correct.
Yep.
Public auction.
Thank you, Councilman.
Ms. Comar wants to recognize you, Councilman.
Go ahead. I don't mind being interrupted.
Councilman DeLuise.
Can I just make a clarification, okay? Let's simplify things. Okay, say you own a waterfront home and you haven't paid taxes on it in a year. That waterfront property goes up for tax sale, okay? The tax sale is advertised well in advance. It'll be like February 2nd. And that tax sale, people can show up at, okay?
Understood.
And it's most likely that there's going to be a lot of people showing up at that tax sale. Mm-hmm. These properties that the chief of staff and the mayor, everybody are talking about, are dormant properties that people just forgot about. And the public and, you know, I just, if you're interested in a piece of property, they've made the properties available, okay? I've done some research on this, and these properties were basically left abandoned because they're basically useless. Most of them are wetlands. Now, you want the city to spend money and resources advertising them all over again? I think it's ridiculous. It's just ridiculous.
Thank you. I understood Councilman Napa's clarification pretty well. I think people know that this May or June, it's going to be the bidding process. People are going to show up like you described. We're talking about properties from the past, many years of delinquent in taxes. I do have to take notice, and I'm sure speakers did not intend to say it this way, and there were a few speakers that said this, that they're worthless properties. They're not worthless properties. They may be valuable in the future. Like I said, check out all the easements. Check out any projects by any of our departments. They hold stormwater, floodwaters, they wildlife habitat. Past administrations have valued these kind of resources. This administration doesn't really do an active land acquisition program. And I know that costs money. But these properties are not just useless. That's why the land trust is interested in a few of them. They're not. And if they had money, if the city would close the right of redemption, that would be great. Because these, I'm sure they're picking out properties that serve a valuable purpose. So I think that's the end of my amendments that speak to some of the council people's questions they had, and I thank you for your time.
Thank you, Ms. Comar. Councilman Gebhardt.
No, go ahead. No, please, go. No, please, you're my councilman.
Ms. Sheridan.
Please. Oh, okay, Ann Sheridan, Ward 9. So I actually have looked at this list. I got the list from the city. Very, very interesting, the 1,000 lots. There is a lot on there that goes back to 1965, which is amazing. There are lots listed as having DOT interest, which should just be taken off exempt. There's a lot identified as part of a city playground that's part of a school. There's some that have partial takings, the lot's a mess. Obviously what our valued solicitor is saying, the ordinance is on the books, needs to be changed because it's against the law to ask for more money. I came here to talk about a whole different things, but the list that the city owns, these 1,000 lots aren't gonna go anywhere, probably because the taxes owed on them over 25, 30, 40 years, it exceeds fair market value. One of the other comments that I originally wanted to make was that, unlike a valued councilman, it is not the council's responsibility to get involved with transferring a tax title. A tax title is a collection of taxes that have already been assessed and due. So it's strictly a process of the tax collector to say, I'll take your money, this is what's due, and end of story. In one instance in the ordinances, if the treasurer, I mean, to me, it's when the treasurer, without anybody else's input in it, is just collecting money, no different than the city collector. I mean, nobody questions whether the collector's taking a bill. So this is an outstanding bill that needs to be paid. To get these lots off, I mean, that's a whole different situation about getting these lots moved. I think it needs the city to suck it up and do a complete taking and file all the things that need to be done in Superior Court, get clean title to them, and then advertise them. I mean, we could give these lots to abutters. We could make tax parks in and around the city, which, you know, East Greenwich has got these little lots that where they have a couple of little pieces of equipment. Why don't we have more of those in neighborhoods? You don't need to have a massive park that needs to be maintained. You just a slide and, you know, a sand pond, and the little tots are happy. You could have a little small dog park in some neighborhoods, which, you know, and then, and rather than wait, you know, for once the mapping's been done, the taking's been done, then the city can go ahead and say, okay, we're going to preserve wetlands for open space, which we all want more open space. Or we could maybe find some developable property that could be sold for a higher bid, because I really don't think you're going to get, with the change in this legislation, it's not going to move anybody to come forward because the bills are too high to begin with, unless there's maybe one or two waterfront lots that might be worth it. But if there are other lots in some neighborhood, the only person that's going to be interested is the neighbor next door who wants to expand their property, but who's already using it and not paying for it. I mean, really, if you've got a lot next door, you're using it. And the amount, I mean, if a lot's been sitting there for 20, 30, 40 years, it's the value of the outstanding tax, plus all the legal charges that have gone on and on the interest and everything else, it's got to exceed market value. Yes, sir.
Hi, Ann. Was it difficult to get that list from the city of all the
No,
properties?
Actually, I filed a Freedom of Information, and I thought I was going to be surprised. And of course, I've been very lucky with Freedom of Information from the city. It's like that stuff gets turned around for me. I think maybe because I'm such, never mind.
We want to run a transparent government. Thank
yeah,
you.
No, it's great.
Thank you, Ann.
I was happy to see it. So thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Sherrod. Councilman Gebhardt, did you have follow-up? Okay. Councilman Lattiser? You have about 90 seconds left.
Thank you, Chairman. I'm still confused on how this became, went from a PCO 13-25 to a PCO 13-25 sub A. My recollection on changes such as this occur when amendments are made to, I'll use this as an example, amendments are made to PCO 13-25, those amendments are approved, and then the item gets assigned a sub A. That's how you separate the old from the new. And right now, what I'm looking at here is now something that says sub A, a proposed sub A. And that's where I'm confused. How did this go from being assigned a sub A to now becoming a proposed sub A? And the question through the chair to the solicitor.
Mr. Solicitor.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Councilman. The history that I'm looking at least in my notes here, is this item was docketed last May 5th, it was first brought up on April 18th, which was then held to October 20th, which was then held to November 17th, which was then held to January 5th of this year, which was then held to the January 26th meeting, which was canceled due to the snowstorm and rolled to the February 9th meeting, and ultimately held to this evening's meeting. At no point was a sub A ever acted upon by the council, which is the only authority to make any amendments at this time. At some point in the lineage of this, a proposed sub A was put on the city website and circulated for potential action, but that never occurred. So while in an effort to try and alleviate questions that came up at a certain time, it never was formally brought before the full council to be inserted in its place. So it remains to this date something that could be called upon should anyone wish to use it. It is something that was, because of the technicality, brought before or inserted into your packets for individually people to consider, think about. And should that, and now we are at a process that's had more robust committee discussion and potential council discussion, should all of you wish. This is the process. This is the time for the committee does not make amendments, as all of you well know. Only the council does. We try to discuss them and provide greater insight. And so at some point during the lineage of this, an alternative option was prepared, but it was never formally offered. So in an effort to try and enhance transparency, it seems to have cluttered a little bit of the process. But as we are here this evening, when this matter, and whatever recommendation comes to the full council, it is the liberty of all nine of you to decide whatever to do with it. And that's the process.
So this got designated as a sub A?
No.
Just it was, because.
A proposed sub A was included in an agenda somewhere along this lineage. I'll find the exact date or try to provide an option. And that option was never formally inserted in place thereof. The council has to make that action. We never got to that point.
This is going to be interesting. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman. Councilman Muto, I see your light on.
So clarification on the process. So we had the PCR original. We had the proposed PCR sub A.
PCO.
Okay. Both being discussed, who makes that decision to put the old one on versus the one that's been discussed by the council? Who sets the agenda?
The agenda, regardless of any item, the original item is always what is on the agenda, regardless of any additional information provided. Mm-hmm. The underlying item is always the action item on the agenda until the body decides to do something else with it.
Yeah, so we had the sub A for discussion. Yes, I agree, we didn't take action on it, but that's what we were working towards. And then all of a sudden, this meeting, the retro comes back. Who made that decision to put the retro back versus the sub A that we've been discussing?
Councilman Muto, no. Just so I can preserve the record, are we on? Is this a point of order?
It's a point of order, yes. Okay.
Thank you.
We always remain on the original item. It is still available for anyone to insert alternative options into the conversation.
My question is, who set this one on the agenda versus the discussion that we've had? You all know the answer to it. I want to get it on the record.
The nine of you voted to hold this item in its original form at the last meeting, as you did for many meetings before that.
Okay. Let me put the bullet between the eyes. The council president controls the agenda. The last several months, we have been having the sub A, and all of a sudden, we have this item. It is up to the council president to, he could have put the sub A on this agenda.
Any one of you can offer anything at any time in the form of an amendment before the council.
Councilman, if I can interject. So this was docketed by council president on behalf of the administration. My understanding is that the administration was desirous of this returning in its original form as it was docketed on their behalf to begin with. And if I understand correctly, because we didn't take any action, we were just sort of kicking the can as we moved the discussion, that left that option open to the administration. Is that a correct
option?
No, that's not what I said. From what I understand from the solicitor, it's always been on the agenda because we didn't act on the proposed sub A.
The proposed sub A was merely an informational item for folks to have at their avail in case someone wished to offer it as a formal amendment before the council, and that someone would have a printed copy detailing the differences of approaches. It is still something that anyone can raise at any time before the full body. But the original item was docketed and held and held and held. That item never changes until formally acted upon by the full body.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Solicitor. Seeing no other lights on and no other comments from the public, do I have a motion on this item?
Sorry, could I ask a question first? My apologies.
I suppose.
This is for the solicitor and or the administration. If the ordinance is passed as presented or even a modification thereof, is there any objection to the council at a subsequent meeting further amending this? Because there's two, from my perspective, there's two issues. One, we have an unlawful ordinance that we need to obviously bring up to speed. And then two, there are other issues now that once it's up to speed that people want certain things addressed. So if we could accomplish at least the first item tonight, in theory, if the administration is open to the prospect of, we'd be potentially looking at this again in the near future to address the concerns, or at least attempting to address the concerns that council members have raised.
If I may.
Of course.
The administration would always be open to suggested amendments.
Thank you. That was all.
Thank you, Council President. Do we have a motion on this item?
Move favorable action.
Motion to move favorable action. Do I have a second? I'll second. Seconded by Councilman Ricks. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, moving on. Next order of business is PCO 3-26, an ordinance establishing a financial oversight commission. Another light item. Councilman Muto, this was docketed by you and Councilman Lattiser jointly. Defer the presentation to you. Or Councilman Lattiser, yep. Whomever.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. Colleagues on the City Council, residents of Warwick, we're proposing this ordinance, Warwick City Council Financial Oversight Commission, or as an ordinance, because we're at a critical juncture within our city. We're navigating very complex and modern municipal finances. We need to manage long-term debt to assure the sustainability of our essential services. And we need a structured, expert-driven fiscal management now more than ever. So the proposed ordinance, PCO-3-26, establishes a Warwick City Council Financial Oversight Commission designed to move us from a reactive posture to a proactive strategic one. This is not just another board. It is a fundamental shift towards greater accountability, transparency, and fiscal stability for the city of Warwick. I'll take any questions.
Thank you, Councilman. Any questions or comments from the members of this committee? Questions or comments from the full council? Councilman Lattiser?
Mr. Chairman, I have several amendments And I would ask if you would prefer to do them when it comes to the full floor.
I would suggest we probably move it to the floor for any suggested amendments.
Fine. Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions or comments from the full committee? Councilman Gephardt.
In order to not slow down the committee, if you could distribute any of those electronically prior, I'd like to have a read if we're going to vote on them this evening.
Is the have your proposed amendments been passed to the solicitor?
Could you just share those in advance of the of when we discuss them, so we have time to review?
Sure, we can get you a copy.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions or comments from the council? Councilman Foley.
Through the chair, the Councilman Lattiser, are there numerous amendments you're proposing, sir?
There are. There are.
All right. Mr. Chairman, I do not believe it's my place from here, but since there's numerous amendments, and since, as you said, here's another ordinance that needs a deep dive, I suggest we hold it, because I'm not going to read his amendments in 10 minutes and be ready to vote on this. If it's this consequential, as Councilman Muto said from Ward 6, I think we need time to digest it. So my recommendation to the committee is to hold this till we get those and we have adequate time to look at the numerous, in his own words, proposed amendments.
Fine with me.
Thank you, Councilman Foley. Mr. Mayor, did you want to be heard on this item?
Well, if you're going to move to hold it, we'll just come back next time.
Okay. Any members from the public wish to comment or question on this item?
My understanding is if the committee determines to hold this, there is no further discussion on it.
I was going to echo the same.
Mr. Solicitor.
No problem.
Just for clarification, the chairman has the control of the committee. There is a precedent that on occasion has been granted latitude, but it's at the discretion of the committee chair on how to conduct that practice.
Okay. That being said, in light of the weight of the potential changes and to not muddy the waters further, I would ask for a motion relative to hold.
Maybe just a recommendation from the sponsor on when to hold until.
Mr. Chair, as the solicitor said, I've engaged in this numerous times, and I would respectfully request that you allow comments from the public on this in its current form, because speaking for me, it very well could give me some additional thoughts on this particular item. It could perhaps change my thoughts on this particular item. So I would respectfully request that the public have an opportunity to weigh in on this.
I was just about to offer a motion. I was just looking out of deference for a date. So I move to hold until the next meeting.
Okay. Do I have a second on that? Second by Councilman Ricks. And Councilman Lattiser, not to dismiss your concerns, I understand them. You are very reachable. I think if any of the members that are public that are here certainly have your contact information to be able to share their comments and questions and concerns with you. But as I said, as to not muddy the waters further in a public setting, I think it would be fruitful to get all of the amendments proposed out. We have a motion in the committee. Councilman Lattiser.
If I may, through the chair, to members of the public present and listening, any questions or concerns or suggestions that you have regarding this particular ordinance, please phone me, or even better, email me those questions and concerns. Thank you.
Thank you for being so accessible. I apologize, but we're just going to...
I'm all set. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. And we have a motion on the floor to hold till the next meeting, which
it's been
is...
seconded.
What's the date?
That's what I was looking for. The date of our next meeting? April 6th.
Motion to hold till April 6th. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
4-0, held till April 6th.
Okay.
Okay. Next order of business, PCO 5-26, an ordinance amending section 64-5 of the Code of Ordinances relative to the compensation of other officials, docketed by Councilman Gebhardt. Councilman Gebhardt, I'll offer you the floor.
I did introduce this on the recommendation of one of my constituents. Subsequent to that, I did hear from the administration that this could cause some consternation. To me, it looked on the merits the same as the one we had done previously. However, this board is somewhat different in nature in that they sort of need to stand at the ready for appeals that could come in. So they do need to be available and ready to meet. It is a very low dollar amount that they are afforded in their stipend, but I'll let someone from the admin make that explanation, but I was satisfied with their explanation of why this could be more disruptive than a benefit.
Are you proposing to withdraw?
I am.
Yeah, but you are withdrawing.
I'm not making a motion. I was going to let them weigh in.
Chief or Mr. Mayor, did you have?
I would just note there's two pieces to this puzzle. One is relative to the Personnel Hearing Board. There is a clarification to the ordinance in Part B that has been discovered to be incorrect in three different ways. So the deletion of that, as it's not required to be here, but is also present in a incorrect manner, may be something you all may wish to consider.
I apologize. I had forgotten about that. That is correct. There is some cleanup in here. So we could amend it on the floor later.
Mr. Mayor?
Councilman, actually, you could eliminate this board. Would solve the problem. We'd have to eliminate the board and eliminate the and change the process. They're entitled to this process not only because it's inordinate. So, and you're right, we don't pay them, but it'd be hard to get them. If we need them, we need them immediately, and we have to bring them in. We're not going to keep people on boards for 2 or 3 years without being paid. There'd be a disconnect. So we wouldn't offer this option. But if you use the ordinance and just get the person up hearing board, and we change the process, that would solve it. If you so desire.
Through the chair. Can I ask him a question?
And I'll tell you, since I've been here 5 years, no one has requested this, and we've parted ways with a number of people.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Any other comments from the committee? So, Chief Staff.
Before you make a motion or to amend and just eliminate the Personnel Hearing Board, there are other sections of the Code of Ordinances that it references it, that new policy and new appeals, because this is a it's a federal law that we have to have due process.
That'd be a separate matter, right?
Correct. I just didn't want you to make an amendment to eliminate the Personnel Hearing Board right now based on, you know, what you hear. But it is a federal law that we need to provide due process. The Rhode Island Supreme Court has held that as well. Excuse me, it's a state law, Rhode Island Supreme Court.
So the suggestion would be to, or the request would be to leave the language as is, separate from the cleanup language we have later on.
Yes, Councilman, for tonight. And I mean, you could dock it tonight that and we can have a draft of the ordinance for you, ready for you for the next meeting, or the one after that.
All right. Thank you.
Councilman Lattiser.
I want to request, formally request a absent, or as I should say, an attendance report on every committee, including the Personnel Hearing Board, beginning with fiscal year 2020 through fiscal year to current date. Let me rephrase that. An attendance report on every board listed on PCO 526, board and commissions, including the personnel board, from 2020 through current day of 2026. Now, I can do it through an APRA request, but it's just something similar, easier to ask respectfully for that now.
Thank you, Chairman. Any other questions or comments from Councilman Foley?
Don't want to keep kicking the can down the road, but since the mayor and chief of staff have mentioned about drafting something, would a good recommendation be once again to hold this just to the next meeting to get that new language?
Through the chair, so we could. I think what we should do is make an amendment to remove the change to the to this particular commission, leave the cleanup that we have later regarding the Kent County Water Authority, which is just incorrect.
Councilman, I would, on this point, if the intent is to do it as a separate cleanup, and there is no urgency necessarily to independently fix the matter, it could be part of something that is just held for a later date if we're going to be touching these other sections as well. So you may wish to just hold the matter until we get our head around what other changes may be offered to this particular section of the code of ordinances.
I have a question on that.
Council President.
Will it work to hold it? Well, let me see the title. So are all the ones being fixed under section 64-5 that we would be doing prospectively with Kent County Water Authority? Because if not, we can just docket something tonight and catch the rest of them.
My understanding is the cleanup that the mayor seemed to be implicating has to do with other sections of the law. So
right.
the we may still want to address the existence of this personnel hearing board or not. And if they're proposing an alternate process, we may be deleting that other piece. But for the sake of the timing and the publication of all of these ordinances, it may be just reasonable to wait to address them concurrently in one item at a later date.
That makes sense to me.
Okay. That being said, do we have a motion to hold? I believe that is the desire.
Move to hold till April 6th.
Motion to hold to April 6th. Do I have a second?
Excuse me.
Seconded by Councilman Ricks. All those in favor?
Aye.
Second 4-0, motion passes.
Do the second meeting in April?
And motion by Gebhardt, second by Ricks. Okay. Next order of business, PCO 8-26, an ordinance establishing a real estate non-utilization tax. Now that I'm reading this, do we have an issue with how this is docketed? Because it says real estate. Or is that just a Scrivener's error that we can overlook? So the title is real estate, not estate. Can we just assume that's a Scrivener's error to overlook, or do we have to amend that?
Yes, there's a Scrivener's error on the agenda itself, not on the underlying PCO.
Is that something we need to take formal action on?
It'll be corrected.
Okay. All right, so purposes of committee, we don't need any formal action on that. This was docketed by Council President Sinapi. Council President, I'll defer the floor to you.
So this one, I'm going to make sure I'm right. PCO 8-26?
Yes.
So this one I'm going to ask to be held to the next meeting, please.
Okay. Council President is suggesting this be held to the next meeting. Do I have a motion? Move for second. Hold to fall 6, seconded by Councilman Ricks. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Next order of business, last order of business for first passage, PCO 22-25, an ordinance prohibiting camping on public properties. This was docketed by myself. I came across an issue, just as a background, came across an issue sometime last year with an encampment that became very problematic and became a safety hazard. In discussion and working through that issue with the administration, with House of Hope, with adjacent property owners, we realized that there was an issue of how do we address issues of encampments and how do we handle people that are unhoused and have no choice but to find themselves seeking shelter in some way on public lands. So I recognize that there's a twofold issue here. One, we have to keep public safety in mind, and two, we have to also keep the human aspect of how do we respect the dignity of people and connect them with services they may need. So in no way was this designed to be docketed as an end-all be-all or something that I am married to the language. This was mirrored from a neighboring town that enacted something similar in an effort to spark conversation. Sometimes we need to kind of poke the bear a little bit to get the appropriate folks out, to get the input from people that I see here in the community and people that I've reached out by email and people we've already heard from in public comment to navigate this tricky water and find the best way through, both from the city perspective and from a public-facing perspective, that how can we serve our community best, and what it's a difficult balancing act, right? So I think we have to entertain the conversation and further the discussion and see where it goes and find some middle ground that we can all be at least partially happy with. You know, I think in something like this, in a lot of ways I can relate in my professional life, we deal with things in family court that are sort of when both sides walk away a little bit unhappy, we found sort of a middle ground. Now, we're not, I think we can all recognize that we're not all going to be completely happy with whatever the outcome, but I think we need to do the best we can to make sure that everyone is heard, their opinions are valued, and we find some way through this that makes sense to address an issue that I think we can ignore. With that said, there are some members of the police department and also, I believe, municipal court. The municipal court judge had some input. She wanted to be heard on some issues. There were some members of the administration that brought some issues to light. I would like to hold this, but I also recognize you guys invested a lot of time. I'm going to use my discretion and allow anyone that's here to comment on this to please comment. Keep your comments brief, but it would be my intention to request a hold until a future meeting so that we can flesh out some of these issues and keep this conversation going and get to a meaningful point. So I welcome any comments or questions from the public. Please feel free.
Yes, how are you doing, committee members and councilmen? My name is Miles Braun Husband, and I am I'm a disability advocate in Rhode Island. In my job, in my work, I deal with this same discussion all the time. You know, homelessness in the epidemic in Rhode Island and Warwick on homelessness as a whole. And I believe that this ordinance is ridiculous, you know, because we need to remember that these people are humans and we have to be humanitarian. So in some ways we have to figure this out as a whole for the state and in the city of Warwick. And I just wanna, because I know that I only have a limited time, but I'm gonna give you a little story, if I may. I have a disabled brother. He's a drug addict and he's living on the street and he's homeless. He has nowhere to sleep. So if he can sleep in these camps per se, that would be amazing. And this is, I just wanna state again, that this is an epidemic in Rhode Island, you know, that we need to fix. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your comments and for your time here this evening.
No problem.
Is there anyone else here from the public that'd like to be heard?